Welcome back to I Choose Me. My name is Nadine Leopold, and in today's episode, I have a guest on. It's a very special guest, and we will be talking about toxic relationships, abuse in a relationship, something that she has experienced, something that I have experienced with her as a friend, and it's something that I'm so proud of her for opening up about it. We spoke about it so many times, and she has been through a hell of a lot. And I always thought it was so important to share her experience as well, because, you know, there's so many young girls out there who slip into a relationship, don't see the red flags, or they're in a relationship where we just accept behavior that's really unacceptable. And to shed light on how this can happen, or to, you know, raise awareness of this behavior and to make sure that we can protect other girls from the same situation, or if you're in a relationship where you're not sure if it's, you know, is he crossing lines, is he not? Like, I thought it was so important that she was sharing her experience, because in her relationship, right, it was a long relationship. It happened over time. And I thought she's a really, really good example for how this can really happen to anyone. But also she's a very good example for someone that has gotten out of it, and she has made huge changes, and she found love again. She's in a great place now with a great person, and I think it's so good to have someone share their experience that's been through it and that also turned it around and ended up actually being in an amazing new relationship. And I'm so proud of her, so I'm really excited to have her on. Yes, I'm so excited. We were speaking about this for a while, but it's like, it's such a tough thing to also speak about. And it takes so much courage to also speak about it in a public way. Yeah. So
yeah,
you have experienced abuse in a relationship. And if you can just tell us a bit about, you know, the relationship itself, like, how did it start? Like, it was very similar to everyone else's start of relationships, right?
I was young. I was just moved to a big city, and I was friends with this person at first. And yeah, we just ended up falling into a relationship. It was not really anything I ever thought was going to happen. And started off just, you know, nothing serious, and then ended up becoming something serious, like most relationships. Just went from there. It lasted for about 4 years. It was fun. It was a very different kind of relationship for me. It was with someone quite a lot older than me. And it was definitely very fun based, and kind of gave me also a support system in a place that I felt very alone and like probably just, I was a bit young still, and I didn't really know myself or how to look after myself still. So I think it gave the relationship I had gave me a little bit of support system. It gave me a group of friends that I didn't have before as well, in a place I didn't know. So my whole life became kind of the relationship I was in.
Yeah.
Which I think could happen in a lot of these situations where you're like, everything becomes that relationship. Maybe I didn't really have many other outlets except for a few friends.
How did he treat you in the beginning of the relationship? Like, was there any indications, or was there anything that was alarming, or did it just start out? Like, what was it like in the beginning?
The beginning of the relationship was definitely fun. I wasn't that into it, to be honest. I wasn't that into this relationship to start with, but it wasn't like something I just wanted to be single and young. And then I ended up becoming, he definitely chased me, and he was definitely very into me. It made me feel very special. Mm-hmm. Definitely like I was the one he wanted. Like I was very, very special. And yeah, a lot of effort was made. A lot of presents, flowers, a lot of turning up at places I was at, and just being around and showing presents. Which makes you feel special, I think. And also I was young, so you don't always, I think that really made me feel very special. And like I had, you know, I was, yeah, it just makes you, it's really flattering. So it was great in the beginning. I mean, there was definitely warning. This was definitely always surrounded by a lot of other women. And I had trust issues from the beginning of the relationship. And I definitely had trust issues from the beginning of the relationship. So that could have been warning signs, but we just kept it casual to start with. And then it became much more serious.
Do you feel like there was a point in your relationship where something changed, or he changed, or his attitude changed? Like, you know, a lot of times I feel like once you date someone for a bit longer, you get used to each other and there's a comfort level. But was there any point where you feel like he's changing or his attitude became different, or were there any indications of change?
I think the change became when it wasn't casual anymore, when we were comfortable with each other, when the relationship, well, to me, felt like we were in a real relationship. We spent most evenings together. We did dinners together. We were like any boyfriend and girlfriend would be. And when there wasn't a chase anymore, I think this person really enjoyed a chase and a game. And when I was comfortable and I was in love and I was fully committed, I feel like things did change at that point, maybe, because maybe it didn't feel so exciting. And then you see true colors, I think, at that point. I feel like, yeah, when I started also, so my relationship included a lot of cheating from his side. And I feel like as soon as I started being much more involved and people knew I was, and I was hearing things and being told things, and I had a gut instinct, which I will tell you is the best thing to follow if I can tell any advice. I think as soon as those warning flags were coming up and I was questioning them, that's when things started changing. And there was a lot of, I think, firstly, what I saw was like emotional abuse, I guess it is, or emotional control in ways when I saw these warning flags, I would push the relationship away. So many times to be like, this isn't going to work. And I mean, yeah. I didn't trust this person. And it was very scary for me with everything I was hearing. And I was just like, this isn't for me. And every time I would try and push away, I would get a grand gesture, or I would get a million thousand missed calls where I couldn't even turn my phone on. When in the past, if I wanted to get his attention for a normal thing, I wouldn't be able to get an answer for a normal question in life. But then when I would push away, then it would be just coming to my house or coming to wherever I was, or becoming very controlling in that way. And just, it felt like I couldn't escape the situation I was in from the beginning. I mean, that was very early on when I knew there was unfaithfulness happening. And I think that's when stuff started changing, I guess. I guess when we both got deeper feelings, it's when you start to see true colors.
Yeah. But do you feel like, why do you feel like you still stayed in it? And like, why didn't you get out back then? I mean, it's a hard question, but like, if you think about it back now, what do you think made you stay in it? Or what made you give him another chance and, you know, ignore those signs that you felt like you've been given at the time?
So I think for me, it was my whole life felt like it was in his circle, and a lot of different areas. I mean, I think in these relationships, from what I know, is in these kind of toxic relationships, is people become, or the man becomes very involved in all aspects of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what it felt like. It didn't feel like I could ever escape.
Yeah.
In where I was and how I was living, and like lots of different things were under his control, or he had helped me sort out in life. I was just in a new city. I didn't know everything, and I just felt like there was no escaping. And I felt also, I think it was feeling like there was no escaping. And my friends were very also involved with his friends, and we all hung out together. And I just didn't know my way out, and I didn't have confidence in myself enough to be able to. And also, like I said, it was very difficult. Yeah. He would get people to call me, get people to contact me, tell me why I was wrong, tell me these things I would hear about being unfaithful is because my friends aren't good friends to me. They're all jealous. They don't want me to be happy. And also, I was threatened a lot that my life wouldn't be very good in the city I was living in, and that I really would have to move cities. And it just, I wouldn't be able to live the life I was currently living if I did break it up. And also then there's this emotional side. A lot of times I would try and end it. There would be many apologies, many storytelling of why it's not true, and also you being told to feel very sorry for this person, and that they, like, I ended up just feeling very bad and sorry for him, and that he couldn't cope in life without me, also became a feeling. I think when someone tells you that they would commit suicide if you're not with them, or they would show you that they would or pretend to, it's a very hard thing to leave a situation when it's like that.
100%. I'm sure so many girls can relate, because I remember when you're really young too, especially in like the first relationships too, it's like you suddenly, your whole world revolves around them, like you said, and like you give up everything and their interests become your interests. And a lot of times, you know, you ignore your friends and you're like, no, I need to do everything in this relationship. I think we've all had that situation, so everyone can probably relate to it in some way. But when do you think was the, like, what was the first time that it became like a physical thing? Like, what was the first time that you feel like there was a physical interaction that didn't feel right?
For me, this has been something that I have realized there was probably only afterwards that I've realized the physical side was probably always there, and it wasn't something that I saw, because I didn't think it was, I didn't know that certain physical things, like if someone holds you to not let you leave when you want to leave, and like say someone's house, he wouldn't let me leave when we would have an argument, and or if I was breaking up with him, he would stop me from leaving and hold me back and hold me down and hold my hands or bar the door, and all of that I have learned now afterwards, from speaking to people, is not okay. But at the time, that didn't feel like a physical abusive way to me, because I just thought that was love kind of thing. But the first time there was something that I knew wasn't right was there was definitely unfaithfulness, and I had an instinct, which was never a good sign anyway, if you do feel like you need to do this in a relationship, to look at someone's phone. Mm-hmm. And I did, and I saw something, and I confronted him, and I got a slap around the face for that. And it was in a public place, which was really shocking to me, because there was no way I could react. I was just shocked. There was nothing I could do in that situation. I was on a plane, and it wasn't public enough that people saw, but it was not a situation I could leave. I was just truly shocked, because, well, just to do that in public is just like, I don't know. I just didn't know how to react. So that was the first time. But again, the reason, I mean, and after that, I said, it's done. There's no way no one will ever treat me like that. Like, I never believed I would be someone who would be treated like that. I think of myself as like, I mean, I still know I was and am a very strong person, but it was something I went through, and it doesn't make you not strong, but it was like hard for me to understand. But yeah, so I would end it and break that up. But then afterwards, there's this, obviously lots of apologies. And then there's this whole feeling of guilty, because I had done something wrong. I had like broken trust by looking at something, and you feel like it's your fault, which, yeah, that was a feeling I had a lot, was I definitely felt like it was my fault and I kind of deserved it, because it shouldn't, like I shouldn't go and look at someone's phone. Like, I'm the one who has the problem. And then after that, I also had times where I would be in situations where I would want to leave a certain place, and in public, he would hold me back, and just in places where he felt comfortable about the people around him. So people did see these situations as well. So that made me also not believe that it was really a problem, but he would hold me back from leaving somewhere, or kind of control my movements if I wanted to leave, say, a party or something like that. I had experiences with that. And I had experiences of my hands being like ripped away from my, like my phone, which doesn't sound that bad, but it's just like, at times felt like my hand could have been broken trying to get my phone out of my hands. And all of these situations, and I realize now, were not okay.
I guess
then it was weird, because it didn't happen. Obviously, I wouldn't say I wasn't physically abused constantly. It wasn't like something that was being happened to me every day. So to me, it didn't feel like something I should be able to speak about, because I didn't feel like it was worthy of, I know people have it much worse. And I couldn't call it physical abuse for so long because I didn't believe it was bad enough for that. I know people experience such awful situations. Yeah. But now I realize, obviously, like girls should never experience this. You should never be touched by someone. You should never be made to not do what you're about to do. Like if you want to leave a situation, you should never be held back from that. And it's very confusing. And you don't want to tell your friends. I didn't want to tell my friends. I was like embarrassed. Or if I did, it was even worse because I ended up going back to this person. And then I was even more embarrassed. So I pushed my friends away even more and I shut them out even more because I was just very embarrassed of the situation I was in. And I knew how they looked at me, or I'm sure they didn't look at me in any certain way, but I judged myself. I judged myself very heavily for going back so many times. There was two more times of quite bad physical abuse where I ended up with bruises one time. And it was again for looking at his phone, which again came that guilt of it was my fault. And there's also this weird feeling of I felt guilty that I had like made him do that, because I think probably other girls who have experienced the same thing, they'll say you'll never know is true. I don't know, but I'll never know is true. They've never done anything like this, and how can you push them to do this to you? So you feel I felt kind of guilty for making this person do this to me, and then them feeling so bad about it afterwards was such a weird feeling. I kind of felt like bad that he felt so bad about doing it. So it's like this weird, it messes with your brain so much that you end up feeling like you're the one doing something wrong. And finally for me, it became one last time when I had really pushed the relationship away so much, and my apartment got broken into twice. Once I wasn't there, once I was there and managed to get into my apartment at the time, and I was in bed and I came out, and it turned into, ended up being a physical altercation, and I had to call the police. And even that didn't actually scare him. And in the end, that was when I realized this is time to change my life. This is not worth it anymore. There's nothing worth it in this relationship. And I think I read something that was like, when something gets just so bad, sometimes you can be very comfortable in a situation, even when you have bad parts of it, no matter what it is. I think we can be very comfortable in life. And I was very comfortable in this relationship, even though there was bad parts, the good parts of like, being with someone, not being lonely, not being on my own, having the life I experienced, having friends around me all the time, always having something to do in a city I didn't know, was much more comfortable for me than trying to be on my own. Yeah. So I didn't end it. But I read something where I was like, when something becomes so bad, that's the only time you can make a change. And I was like, I have to make a change. This is too bad now.
And how long has it been now since like you've actually like, just being your friend, I experienced like all the situations of you trying to get out of it. And I remember how hard it was to watch, because you don't really know how to help as a friend either when someone's in that situation, because you can only be there for them. But like at the end of the day, it had to be you to make the final decision. And once you did, like it was, I feel like, how long has it been? Like it's been a few years now. And like how do you look at the situation now? Like do you see, I mean, I feel like it took a long time for you to also understand that you were done wrong and it wasn't your fault, and you actually didn't do anything wrong, because for someone to physically hurt you, like it's you should never create that reaction. Like you can't create that reaction in another person by just being a good person. It's like you've been out of it now and it's been a few years, and like if you look back at it now, how does it feel looking back at it? Like you've come so far and you actually stayed strong during this time, and you've tried this so many times before, but what made you stick to it? And do you feel like after a while you started seeing things in a different way once you were out of it?
Yeah, Well, the main thing that made me stick to leaving the relationship finally was, as I said, things got so bad in so many different ways, with friends involved trying to help me and then just letting me down, or it was an accumulation of things. And I just really didn't, do you know what? I wasn't angry at him as much as I was so angry at myself for kind of, I was disappointed in myself because I thought I was which you should never be, but I was kind of ashamed of myself and I didn't forgive myself for staying in that relationship, which I realized afterwards I really had to, because it wasn't my fault. And like you said, no one should ever, there's nothing you can do, and that's something I want anyone to know who's in this situation, to another person, no argument you can have that gives them validation to be able to touch you or emotionally abuse you, which is a very harder thing to see. Physical abuse is obviously much easier signs to see. Yeah. But there's, no one should ever control you. And that's something like I didn't understand at the time. And I look back on it and I actually, look, it's so easy to say now. And I think it was one of the most awful situations I've been in. My whole life, I know you'll remember, I was sick all the time. My body was also I was tired. My body was giving me signs. I always had a cold. I was always sick. I wasn't sleeping. So looking back on it, there were so many signs that this just wasn't okay. Like my body was responding to all the emotions too. But the final thing that made me stick to leaving the situation was I saw a therapist, and it was a lot of advice I was getting given to do that from friends. And I think I think the therapist for sure was, well, one other thing that made me finally actually call a therapist was I was on a shoot somewhere and someone knew all of this stuff about me and had heard a lot, which was just, again, you know, when you hear it from someone else, it's kind of like I was in that situation, but I was so in it that I didn't see it. And when I heard someone else say it to me, that was so far removed, and I'm like, wow, even they've heard about this. It finally made me call a therapist, make a difference in my life, change things. And as I said, speaking to the therapist, I had actually throughout this relationship called therapists so many times and canceled the appointments because things would get better again when I would finally have the appointment, or it was a good day. And I was like, I guess I just wasn't ready. And I think that's okay if anyone's in this situation. I do think, I mean, you should definitely try and get out of it when you can, but I do think it's okay. I was never ready at the time to make a change. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally went to my first therapy session and I told my therapist everything that had been happening, and I just cried. And I'm not really a crier. I know you know this about me, but I don't cry very much. I don't think. I'm not the most emotional person. And
you are, visibly.
Just not visibly, yeah, true. And I just cried and cried and told her everything. And it was just, I was very lucky to find a therapist that really understood. And she actually told me, which really warmed my heart, that she had been in a very similar situation and that it's going to be okay. And this happens. And you, like, that she's super happy now. She's married and she's with an amazing person. And like, this is going to be okay. She understands. And that none of this was right. And that's what she gave me clear clarity on, that this wasn't right. Like, this person has their own issues, but they should never treat you like this. And she made me much more aware, because obviously I told her the main times there was physical abuse, but she made me much more aware of the little signs of physical abuse. As I say, if your arm is ever just held back and you're not allowed to do what you want to do, or you're forced to do something else, it's not okay. And it's very hard to see those signs sometimes because we think it's passion and love, but it's not. You should never be forced to do anything against your will. And she just made me see that. And she just made everything much clearer and gave it acceptance where it was like, this is not okay. This person should never treat you like this. And I think also for me, seeing a therapist, it was kind of like, I've taken the step to see a therapist, to go speak to them. I have to stick to this now. Like, I'm opening myself up to someone. I'm telling them everything about me. I'm paying them, which actually for me, I think that whole part of paying a therapist actually gives you almost more of like, okay, I've got to stick to this. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like my money's even going into this. Yes. I need to make a change now. And that's when I think my life changed and I really stuck to it. And things just got better. But I had to go through quite a dark time of being on my own where I actually cut out a lot of what my life was about then, which was that friendship group and that whole life I was living. I actually did a trip on my own. I went away on my own for a couple of weeks. I did this most amazing trip. And that also opened my eyes up to the rest of the world that was out there. Like, you're never just one little friendship group or one little circle around you. Yeah. There's so much more. You just have to put yourself in scary situations to open your life up to many more possibilities. And I definitely went through those dark times of sitting in my apartment alone. But I just had to keep with it because I knew my alternative wasn't worth it anymore.
Also, you made it hard for him to be able to get a hold of you as well, right? Because like you said,
yeah,
the past few times it was hard for you to get out of it because he would just like appear all the time. And like, do you think there was a point too where he understood it? And then, you know, because I think
yes,
you lost your whole life in order to get properly away from him.
Yes. So I think the issue is before I could have done more things to stop communication, but I guess I was never ready. I made like false attempts at trying to stop the relationship, but I always responded and I always left the door open because in my eyes it was like, oh, I felt sorry for him and I needed to be there for him as well. And that's what I'm sure a lot of people feel like, is like, oh, you need to be there for them. But at the end of the day, you're also being selfish because you want that attention and you don't want to be on your own. You're looking out for yourself too. And I finally realized I needed to stop all of that. I moved apartments. I didn't tell the address. I just stopped all communication. So no matter when I would, if it would be my phone would have to be turned off for an hour or two because I would be getting calls, it would be turned off for an hour or two. Everything was blocked numbers wise, but there is still ways, as everyone knows, to be contacted. But I would turn my phone off. I would never respond. And as hard as that was, because that used to be the hardest thing in the past, that even when I would try, I would get multiple calls, multiple texts, as many people do in these strange toxic relationships. And I would eventually answer when I was feeling at my lowest. I finally just stopped that cycle and I didn't allow that to happen. I busied myself with friends. So I was always around people. I traveled more. So I wasn't in the city where he was. And I think I just really stuck to it. I was like, nope, communication isn't happening. And even times maybe I would, if I would let one call, I would answer it. And I just realized straight away, even when I did that, nothing good came from it. Like when you're in a good headspace again and you would think, oh, maybe I could be friends. Maybe there's something, maybe I need to be there. And then you would. And you're like, no, I just, because I was in a better place, I was like, there's nothing good this is bringing me except for negativity in my life. There's no positivity from this. And there's lots of resentment and lots of anger still. So you can't have that communication. There's no way to have communication after that kind of thing happens. And I think I just really stuck to it. And I worked on myself. I went to therapy a few more times. I didn't continue going because I felt like I got enough out of it after just a few sessions. So for some people who think, I'm not going to go to therapy every day for the rest of my life, I didn't need to. I only had to go a few times, a handful of times. And it did what it needed to do for me. It just made me see clearly. So I don't think everyone needs to think it's a lifetime investment because it doesn't have to be for everyone. Maybe it does for some people, but if you maybe don't have the money to make it that way, you can always just go once or twice. And sometimes just talking to someone else who isn't judging you, because friends, no matter what, they listen to you, but I think they still, they don't judge, but everyone has their own self-interest in a way. No matter how good friends we are with each other or whatever, we love each other, there's still like your own life experience that comes into this or your own observation because you know the people. And a therapist is just someone who doesn't know anything about you and it's completely neutral and they don't have anything invested in telling you a certain way. So you just listen to them and they listen to you. And it's honestly, the other thing about therapy, I would say, which is incredible, is she didn't actually have to say much to me. It was listening to me saying the words of what had been happening
Yeah.
was enough for me to be like, whoa, I've never really said them and I've never really heard myself. And I'm like, this isn't okay. Like, I would never listen to my friends say this and think it's okay. So why is it okay for me to be in this situation?
Yeah, I think it's true. It's like a lot of times, you know, even though everyone says it's important to speak to your friends, whatever, I think when it's a situation like yours, no matter how, they care so much about you too, and you don't necessarily want to hear the truth from them because
yeah,
you're too close to the situation. So it's like, it needs to be someone from the outside, someone that doesn't know you, that doesn't know anything about you to tell you this is wrong, to actually believe that it is wrong.
I mean, especially because in these situations, well, as you say, friends, you always think, oh, they're saying this because they're jealous, or they're saying this because yeah. of that, or they're saying this. And especially when you're in a relationship where this person might be telling you, your friends are only saying this because they're not really your friends. You know, they're not good friends to you. And they isolate you from all these people because obviously they know deep down that your friends are never going to support this kind of behavior or this kind of relationship. So and I just started hiding things from my friends. I didn't want to admit it. I was embarrassed. And I mean, you should never be ashamed of what's going on because it's, but I do think a lot of people feel embarrassment and shame because I just never thought I would be in that situation. But I've definitely let go of any judgment if I ever had of someone being in that situation, because you never know what's happening, and you never know why what's going on in someone's life to have got them into that place and how hard it is for them to leave it.
Totally. And like your situation, it's like you said, it didn't happen quickly, right? It happened over time.
No.
And it started out like any other relationship. So it's not something, you know, by the time you see the bad signs, you could be in love already, or, you know, it happens to so many young girls.
Especially. Yeah, exactly.
You're dependent on that other person. And you don't want to believe that they don't. You want to believe that they love you the way you love them, and you want to believe
yeah.
that they never hurt you. So to just admit to yourself that is not love from the other person where you invested so much into them, that alone is painful enough to keep trying to prove yourself wrong.
I think that's exactly right. And as you say, when it's very slow, it wasn't like straight away. And once you're fully invested into a relationship, It is, you start to feel like, why this can't be happening? Like, how can someone I love so much be, this is how this just must be the way they show love. Like, this is just love. This is what happens. I kept just thinking, this is what happens. And also he told me a lot in the relationship that this is normal. Like, I know friends, this has happened. Like, people get angry sometimes, but it doesn't, you know, it's not like, and he would still to this day also never admit it was a problem. And also I was made to think I had imagined a lot of this stuff, which messes with your head a lot. So you just kind of, I was like, did this happen? Did it not? Am I over-dramatizing it? But yeah. And it's just now being in a very healthy relationship, I definitely know that nothing from it was the right way to be treated.
I think it's so important to also, you know, let people know, like, you know, you've come out of this and you have met someone again. And this time it's actually someone that, I mean, anyone would be a better person than the past person in this case. But I mean, he's incredible. And like, how do you feel? Do you feel like it still affects your relationship? Or how did it make you, do you feel like you went more aware into the relationship, or, you know, coming out of something so painful, going into something new? It's hope to girls, because I think a lot of times you think, oh my God, I'll never meet someone else, or everyone is bad, there's no good people out there.
Yeah, I definitely felt like that for a long time. And I also felt like the problems I had, which I was told I was jealous a lot and that I was controlling because I would look up, you know, I was told all the things that actually he was, because I guess you just project your own problems. I thought I would always have this problem in other relationships, that I was a jealous type who looks at phones, that like doesn't trust people, that I had these issues. And moving into a different relationship, I realized that was not the case. When you're with someone that you just, there is no reason not to trust them, and they're open with you and they treat you the way you should, the way you treat them, like the way you should be respected. none of these problems that I thought I had and I was going to continue to have in every relationship was there. So I think just instinct, when these problems are in a relationship, when you don't trust someone, when you're nervous of them, when there's all these different issues, it's not going to be like that in every relationship. It's not you. It's not you. And I think also I was just super open and honest about past experience I had with my new relationship. I definitely told him everything and told him why I might be a little bit nervous to get close to someone, and why I have to take things slowly, and why I might have different, I might still be working through things. And I think just being very open and honest about that. And if this person, the new person you're with, reacts well and positively to that and is just there to support you, then I think that's an amazing sign. And my relationship was, so it was, he just supported me the whole way through and understood if I ever had bad days where I still thought about it or I was still sad. But yeah, you just know when you're in a good relationship. Yeah. It's just also the one thing to know is trusting your gut. The way my gut feels in this relationship compared to my past one, I was like, it's so clear. Nothing ever felt right. Like there was a love there for sure. I was fully in love, but the gut instinct of trusting someone and feeling safe wasn't there. And that's what I have now.
And you haven't been sick in ages too. Like it's crazy how you
yeah.
also, I remember when you were going through your old relationship, you were, like you said, you were always sick. Like I also feel like you, as friends, like we wouldn't see you that often. Like there was, and you were always like, you could see it like physically and everything that you were so run down. And it's like, when you look at yourself now, I mean, you haven't been sick in ages. I feel like you have a glow.
Yeah.
I feel like your work is so much better. Like I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. Everything seemed to align as soon as I was out of that situation. Through that, work was just getting, I mean, it was fine, but I didn't feel good. I was never, I've worked with clients now who say, wow, like you're a different person. What's changed? You're so much more present as well. I was never present. I was always thinking about this, my relationship. And I was always, my head was just in drama, which I think is another point I wanted to say. I think drama of a relationship is very, very addicting. I find the relationship was like an addiction to me that I couldn't leave. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people is it's an addiction. And I had to get used to not having drama in my life anymore. And I mean, I'm so happy it's not there anymore. But yeah, I do think you can, it was just like, I needed that adrenaline rush in some ways, I guess, was also a weird, it was a weird part of it.
Totally.
But yeah.
There's more girls in our group, in our circle of friends that have had also not, I think yours was.
Yeah.
In my, for me, also being one of your best friends, like to experience was probably one of the worst relationships I've ever experienced from the outside. But like, it's so sad because I think, like you said, the drama when you're really young and when you're, you know, when you're young and you go out and there's like, you're in the nightlife, you just, you know, you're partying and like, you kind of get addicted to, there's always something going on. It's some kind of action in your life. But when it actually is physical and you see that if the longer this goes on, the worse it gets, the, you know, the harder the grabbing of your hands or the pushing or whatever it is, it just gets worse and worse. And I mean, at your worst point, you had a black eye. And like, it's like the fact that it went so far, it's like, it shows that, you know, for so many young girls, it's like, if you ignore the first physical interaction or the first physical alterations, it's like, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And it doesn't get better.
Yeah. I think as soon as you see a sign, it's just a warning sign, like get out. I've never heard an experience of someone being touched and it's not happening again. It does get worse and it becomes more and more acceptable and okay. And it becomes more and more okay to you. It's not so shocking after it happens again. You're like, oh, this again kind of thing compared to, I just feel like you say when any warning signs like that happen, it does just keep getting worse because these people need to show power over you in some way. That's why they're doing it. They're trying to show dominance and power and you can't leave this situation. So it doesn't get better.
What would be something that you could tell a girl that is listening that is in a relationship where, you know, there might be girls out there right now that are thinking like, hold on, like the other night we got into a fight and
he called me some crazy things or he touched me in a way that might have been a bit too aggressive. Like, what is like advice for girls that might be going through exactly the same thing right now, but aren't fully aware of the fact that it's already wrong and it's already not right? Like, what would you tell them to do?
I would tell them just, it's very hard to see, but that it is never okay to be touched by someone else, no matter how angry someone gets. I mean, I have arguments in my relationship now and we would, I mean, it's just not even a thought that we would even like, I don't know, there's no way to even get to that point of that anger. Like that never happens. And just, it doesn't even cross my mind that either of us would ever touch each other in that way. So it just that it's not normal. It's not okay. It's not love. Also, it's not like passion and love. It's just some, and also they just have a problem. It's not you. It's not you making them angry. That's what I felt like. I had pushed this person to this point because that's what I was told. It's them, and they have a lot of, unfortunately, however sad it is, you can't help them. They have a lot of problems they have to work through, and I'm sure they feel guilty about what they're doing, but it's not going to change and until that this situation is stopped. I mean, until this relationship isn't there anymore, they need to work on themselves by themselves. And it's just, you should try and do your best to tell someone, because I think vocalizing it will make you hear it. I also think a really good example of how to know how you should be treated is act like it's your little sister. Mm-hmm. And your little sister was telling you what happened in that situation. Someone told me this, or I read this somewhere. And how would you, what would you tell them? Like, would you be okay? Or say younger you, just like you looking on it. Would you be okay with your little sister being touched or shouted at or spoken to in that way? Would that ever be okay to you? Or your daughter or something like that? And when you think of it like that, and if you're not okay with it, then you shouldn't be okay for it to happen to yourself. And there's no excuse for anyone's behavior. And no matter how hard it seems, you will definitely find something better out there. There's definitely a lot better than those situations, no matter how much you feel you're in love with them. And I'm sure you can. There can be so many good points about a relationship that have also have this abuse, because there's so much love in there. It's not saying this person is purely evil, but it's just, it's not right. And you need to get yourself out of that situation because it's not going to change and you can't change them.
No. And it's, I think it's so tough nowadays too, because I think dating is so much harder and we're in a generation where there's so many people that are unfaithful, and it's obviously not always just guys, also girls. So it's like, it's really tricky. And I think a lot of young girls are super hopeless and they just feel like, oh, you know, they just take the first guy that...
Yeah.
A little bit of validation or makes him feel special. Like you said, like you felt special around him, right? But like,
yeah,
it's so important to know that it's not, there's so much more out there. You just need to be patient, as hard and annoying as it sounds.
Yes, exactly. It becomes quite a norm as well to hear of people being cheated on or people cheating. And it becomes like, especially when you first, I mean, I think, when you're that age and you get into a relationship as well, when you're in your early 20s, and you're usually approached by, especially if you're someone who's a bit shy, which I tend to be, you're usually approached by a very confident person and like very out there and got a lot of swag. And they, I think that like, you think that's what, this is just what happens. It's normal that people cheat on each other and it's okay because you see it all around. And it's these loud, boisterous people you meet, and they tend to, I don't know, it seems to happen in those scenes where people cheat on each other a lot. So I think just knowing that that's not actually how relationships work, and it doesn't need to be that way. And this, I mean, it's not okay. I don't think cheating is ever okay, being unfaithful to someone and lying to them. People can have the relationships they want, but they have to be open and honest about every single thing that's happening.
I agree. Communication is number one. It's just so important. And it's true, like, I mean, there is so many people that, like, I think one of the saddest things that a girl ever told me was, you know, it's fine if he cheats on me as long as I don't know about it, or as long as it's not
disrespectful
towards me in public. It's like, oh my God, you should never get to that point. Like, I mean, both of us have been in relationships, we've been cheated on, you've been treated badly, right? But like at the end of the day, we're both now in
amazing relationships. I would never even, like, cheating is something that just doesn't exist. Like, it's just not a way to have. And suddenly you're like, wait, this is how relationships are supposed to be like. But because there's so many bad versions, and it's so much easier to give up on it, and it's so much easier to give up on yourself and to just accept that rather than have patience and wait for the right person to come along. It's like, cheating is not right. And like, someone treating you bad, it's not right. Someone calling you a bad, like, you should, I also think you should never, if you're in a relationship, a guy should never call you bad names. Like, it should just be okay. It shouldn't be normal. And it isn't normal.
It's not normal. Like, now I know it's completely abnormal. But at the time, I was definitely, every argument we were in, I was called a number of names, and I would call the person a number of names. And I would never think, there's no argument that I could get in my relationship now where I would ever call him the names I would call my past. I was also definitely guilty of calling them horrible names and making them feel bad. It's just when you're in that toxic turmoil of relationship, it's just like, it's just a warning sign. This is not how it should be. And don't accept this. Like, there's so much more to life out there. And there's so much more, even being on your own, you don't need to have a relationship. It's much better to be on your own, which I realized afterwards, than to be in a lonely relationship and a relationship that you just end up, your self-worth just goes down the toilet. I didn't have any self-worth. I know that. And that's probably why I was in that situation in the first place. But I think I was too young to even know or be aware of that kind of thing. But you just got to realize how much you're definitely worth it.
What made you decide to actually speak about it? Because I know that was really tough for you. But what made you actually?
Yeah,
I should speak about it. I'm ready to speak about it.
Yeah. So this is never something I've spoken about openly, and I know you approached me, and I think seeing you be so brave and talk about the hardship, the hard situations you've gone through in your life growing up, just made me feel, I just saw such good with what you're doing, and how being able to speak in this very open girl chat way, just talking to your girlfriend about what's happened, not like with a therapist, just being open and seeing that we have all been in these situations and we can all relate to each other. And I shouldn't be ashamed of it, or I shouldn't be quiet about it, because all I'm doing is telling my story. I'm telling you my experience, what happened. I'm not an expert in this. I just know it wasn't right. And if another girl out there can relate and realize they might not be in the right situation, or if they're out of the situation and they still feel really shitty about themselves, to know that someone else has gone through it and you're not alone and it's not you. You know what I mean? It happens a lot. And just if I can inspire someone else to make a change in their life or feel better about it, that's what I wanted. I realized that the only reason I didn't want to speak about it was for being scared. And the reason I wanted to speak about it was out of love and trying to help someone else in the same situation. So I realized love and trying to help someone is much more important than what people may think.
No, and I think it's also so amazing, because I think a lot of times when you devalue your experiences and you think like, oh my God, if I speak about it, people won't
trust
me. They won't take me serious. And like, it's also hard when you're in a public eye and you have like
this perfect
life on Instagram, right? You're like, oh, people won't even believe it because I'm not showing it all the time. But it's actually so good.
Yeah, I think the word saying devalue your situation was a big part for me to talk about. I don't like to, which is probably still something I need to work on. I don't like to use the words abuse, because even though it is, and I do know that, it's just, it feels like such a, I was like, no, I have no right to use that word. People have been abused. People have been abused in much worse ways. And like, I don't have right to call this abuse. Like, it felt like I was dramatizing my situation, but I do know it was abuse. And abuse comes in many different forms. It doesn't have to be it can be really, really, really physical, and it can be just sometimes a little bit or little signs of it, or it can just be emotional. Like, there's different forms of abuse. So at first I felt like I didn't have a right to talk about it because I haven't been in such bad situations as maybe other people do, but I do. And if it can help anyone else out there who doesn't feel like their situation is bad enough, then I am doing my job. I just would love to help anyone else in the same situation, or just to see signs of what's not right in a relationship.
No, 100%. And I think by you sharing it too, I hope that a lot of other girls that are listening in right now, like, it's so important to share it, no matter if you think if it's a big thing or not. Because at the end of the day, if no one speaks about even just like what they feel like is a little form of abuse, right? There might be other people going through it that are not as strong, that are not handling it as well. And they might be, you know, it can affect you for the rest of your life. And if we speak about every single form of it, or if you speak about it, no matter how bad it was, like, I think it's just so good to just speak about it and share it, because then automatically you take away the power that was taken from you going through that.
Yeah.
And also it helps you, like, you know, let it go and move on and be like, this is a part of me. Always be a part of me. But it's also a part of so many other girls. And by knowing that it happens to a lot of other people as well, it's like you can be there for each other in a way that, you know, I feel like a lot of times you don't hear girls that are around you that you follow on Instagram, you don't hear them speak about those kind of experiences, right?
No.
You choose to not, or you think you're like, you're too scared. And it's actually incredible to hear these stories from people that you might not expect it from.
Yeah. No, you're completely right. And maybe, yeah, exactly. Just realize that everyone's the same. We're all trying to live this crazy life, and we can all learn from our experiences. And just to know, just to talk. I think through your early 20s, you can go through so many crazy experiences. I'm sure most girls have a sort of example of a toxic relationship. And it doesn't always have to be as bad as this, and it doesn't, but your experience could help someone else.
Totally.
And sometimes two people just aren't made for each other as well. I just think two people, it doesn't have to be as drastic as this, or what the things that I've been saying, but sometimes toxic situations, you just need to get out of it. And there's so much more to life. There's so much more to live. And you can be so happy when you're with someone that just treats you so well.
Gotta choose yourself.
Gotta choose me.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And like,
of course,
if anyone has any questions, like, you guys can always reach out. Even working on a website right now, so it's a bit easier, but you can always reach out on Instagram. And I'm sure, you know, everything that you guys send us, it won't be shared. So don't be worried about that. But like, if you feel like there's something that you want to share with Megan, or you want to ask her about, I'm sure you can just send her a DM on Instagram.
Yes.
A lot of times I think you guys think that you don't see it, but a lot of times we do see it. So, and I think it's always appreciated, and everyone makes
sense. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So yeah. Thank you guys. And thank you.
Thank you. I can't wait to see you soon.
Thank you for listening to I Choose Me. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, you can follow me on my Instagram, Nadine Leopold.